Look, I'll keep this short, audio listener, because we have some legal issues on our hands with Twitter removing yesterday's episode. Mug Club is how you can support us. LatterWithCredit.com/mugclub. You enter in the promo code FightLikeHell. You get $30 off. If not, just rate this wherever you're listening to it. Fill your hands, you son of a bitch. That was a silence there because it's a somber moment. Yeah. Not really that somber. Look, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
So, sponsors today, none. Introducing Dave Landau, Gerald. I don't care.
Ahoy, hoy.
Shut up.
No.
Damn it. No. Look, this is where we are. For people who are watching, there's going to be a lot of information here. I don't know where this will be, where it'll be available. So, listen, the hashtag right now, if you want to get out there, is Free Crowder. Just include my name. Tweet this live stream out. There is the promo. People say, why don't you create another platform? Because I'm going to talk about being blocked on Twitter and yeah. What's been happening. And my half-Asian lawyer is going to be here in a second. It's Mug Club. You go to latterwithcredit.com/mugclub, and the promo code is FightLikeHell. You get $30 off. That's what allows us to be on all these platforms that consistently try to ban us. So let me explain to you exactly what happened yesterday. I was locked out of Twitter, and I found that out late at night.
Yeah.
For posting yesterday, the segment that you saw, where we went to the fake addresses, the addresses in the Nevada and Michigan voter rolls that didn't exist. For those who didn't watch yesterday, you can see the link in the description, but here's just a snapshot of the addresses. Fake. Like a Kardashian spinoff. We show them, they're available at latterwithcredit.com. Just to be clear, Twitter banned this, and then now it's available, but you can't interact with it. I don't know exactly what the rules are. Saying that we violated guidelines. Look, I want to be very clear about something, especially to the, you know, and I understand a lot of people out there who want to be patriots, who are Trump supporters, and say, well, why don't you? Look, I cannot claim that Donald Trump won the election, because I cannot verify that. I cannot claim that all of this was rigged by the, because I cannot verify that. I cannot claim factual evidence of motive because I can't verify it. What I can tell you is what is. And what I can tell you is we have hundreds more of these addresses. And when Twitter says unverified election fraud, the segment was verifying. That's exactly what it was. It was, let me walk you through the steps, okay? Here's what we did, and I'm gonna bring on my half Asian lawyer in a second to talk about it. Because I understand, I don't wanna be hoodwinked. We've talked about some false data that's been presented before in relation to election fraud and grandiose claims. We've made none of that. It's almost been a running joke because we want to point out how absurd and stringent the rules are and the burden of proof. What did we do in finding these addresses? And we have hundreds more. Listen, you comment below. Let me know if you, the best thing you can do is, you know, tweet this out and comment. You let me know. Do you want me to stop doing the show for a few weeks and just collect hundreds of these? I can do that. I can drive around the country in an RV. We could potentially collect thousands. It's just a matter of time. Here's what we did. Step one, we accumulated the voter data, okay, from government websites. All right? So don't say this is unverified. This was us going through the process of verification, which many state election boards didn't care to do. Can't state the motive why. Mm-mm. There's also some new information on one of those fake voters who was a Clinton staffer, which we'll get to in a second. I didn't know that on air, but I said, I can't place your face, but her name rings a bell.
Cherry.
Interesting.
Then we checked the addresses to see if they were deliverable by UPS. Okay? Then we checked to see if there was a registered property at that address. And then we physically visited. In this case, I had health problems, so we sent some people out. Dave Landau was very acquiescent. We had an intern. We have other people. Yeah. We could do this cross-country. We physically visited said address, and gave you the name of the voter from the address that doesn't exist. That is the verification process. Someone else in charge should be doing this. The issue is the people who are in charge, not only those in government, but more powerful than government in Twitter, say that's not allowed. We're not allowed. This to be clear here, because there are a lot of people out there who make claims, Donald Trump won the election, one nation under God. Look, you can't make that claim if you can't verify it. I will stand by this, and it's not just about my account being unlocked. It happened in record time. Yeah. That post needs to be up, because that is hard factual information, and I would swear to it, and I'd stake my reputation on it. This isn't about me. I'm willing to stand in that line of fire for the truth, not for a lie. So we will only discuss what we can verify. That's precisely what this segment was going through a verification process, very stringently, due diligence, and Twitter removed that anyway. What are the limitations at that point? This is literally saying you cannot go through a process which would actually make most journalists blush and verify false election addresses and post it publicly. We will not allow that. Then what opinion can someone have? Can it only be unfounded opinions as it relates to election, like the New York Times or Time Magazine? Because I don't know how you get more factual than this. And so to speak about this and the policy and the guidelines so you guys can understand better, we have my half-Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, who is here to talk about this today and give us a little more information. Again, promo code is Fight Like Hell. You can join at Mug Club, blatterofcanada.com/mugclub. Half-Asian lawyer Bill Richmond, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful.
How are you? Oh, let's get his microphone on there in the 2 minutes. All right, now we can hear you.
How's it going?
You did powder yourself before the show.
I know. Don't I look like moderately better?
Yeah. Well, you just don't listen as much. It's like, you have a nice pregnant glow.
I thought I only had to powder myself at home.
Yes.
You know, when my wife was like, oh, God, go powder yourself.
So can you explain to people what happened here? Because they need to understand the Twitter guidelines, I guess. Let's walk through this. First off, you reached out to Twitter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we reached out to Twitter. We followed through the normal procedure that they have, which is a laughable procedure with regards to appeal that occurred last night as well. So, but what we have at a fundamental level, without being legalese about it, is bullshit. In the legal context, though.
By the way, I love how I tell everyone here, I'm like, look, be on your best behavior until Bill, my lawyer, leaves, because I don't. He has to walk into court, and he comes in. He's like,
yeah, of course.
Fuck these guys,
Your Honor, they're full of
it. Okay, all right.
No, but there is a time and a place, and any lawyer, any judge, any person will know you have to call a spade a spade. Now, in a courtroom, I won't say it that way. I'm going to use the $100 words that keep me employed. But no. I mean, but what it comes down to is they have said this is the process. We will tell you why your tweets are restricted. Here are our policies. Read them, love them, follow them, yeah. And we will only act in these ways. This is called fraud.
Right.
This is when you say, yeah, I have a platform that has certain rules, and if you play by the rules, we'll let you play.
Right.
But then you change the rules.
Do they answer you what guidelines we violated? Because it was just this broad stroke.
No. Not only was there no answer, but I mean, you've already tweeted this. When they sent the original restriction, it says specifically, colon, blank.
There's wow.
Their form shutdown notice has a place for them to tell you why they're shutting you down. And someone looked at that and goes, let's keep them guessing.
Yeah.
Send.
And listen, I've always said, I don't like to talk about numbers. I want the content to speak for itself. But of course, it's on the radar of the higher-ups when this is something that has millions of plays and views.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
and absolutely. I was like, oh, it was some patsy for that. No, these were the higher-ups. Let me read here Twitter's their civic integrity rules regarding misleading information about outcomes. That's how they frame it. We know with YouTube you can talk about voter fraud.
Right.
You can talk about voter fraud occurring on a large scale, a massive scale. You cannot in any way imply that affected the outcome of the 2020 election. You can with elections in 2016 and
totally
other elections.
Safe. Correct. Totally
fine, which we'll get to.
Most definitely
the
election ever.
Right. Yeah. So it says, we will label or remove false or misleading information intended to undermine public confidence in an election or other civic process. This includes, but is not limited to, disputed claims that could undermine faith in the process itself, such as unverified information about election rigging, ballot tampering, vote tallying, or certification of election results. I don't know how physically visiting addresses and posting that they they don't exist with names of people in some cases who are in prison is undermining faith. It almost seems like this is designed to instill faith, people in themselves, to try and hold their elected officials accountable.
Well, this is the example we talked about before, which is think about the governments or the processes or anyone who says, you know what would make you feel good about this process is if I ignore all of the problems, the evidence of problems, I cover them up, and if you raise any question about them, I shoot you and I put you in a gulag.
Right.
Sounds like some countries that we don't like.
Yeah.
Like some processes we don't like. And this is really what it comes down to is you have spent an extensive amount of time looking at these rules. As the rules get updated and changed, you know, no matter how much we may disagree with them, you understand. You're pro-business. You say, okay, hey,
right,
you're going to put out these rules. Well, we're going to play by them. And when you play by the rules, they decide, they go, oh, well, we don't have a good reason. Let's just remove it.
Speaking of gulags, that's actually where Dorsey vacationed this summer. Oh. I didn't actually mean shut up, Dave. I was just joking.
I didn't know. Okay.
But you're like unverified.
I feel like somebody, like you hit me and you're my dad. And I should just get in right
face. Yeah, we're all just supposed to go out to Dairy Queen. Like, that's my makeup, but I'm not going to address it.
Yeah, my dad's like, great job out there in right field, not catching anything.
He's like, Dave, just keep going further. No, beyond the wall. Okay, next county? All right, see you, son.
I'm sorry I hit your mom, but listen, this tin roof sundae expresses all I need to say.
Wrong brother died.
So they say unverified. Well, hold on a second. Who verifies it, then?
Yeah.
If we go through voter rolls, see if it's deliverable, and then go and physically visit the address, this address isn't there. It's a median.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, those were temporary voting booth setups, voter registration setups because of COVID. In the middle of a freeway? I mean, in the middle of an apartment complex with a number that doesn't exist?
Right.
Who verifies?
The entire complex didn't exist.
In the middle of Mexican Town, 3 feet away from a sign where a guy's wanted for murder?
I find this to be a really interesting question, which is, if you don't let verified information on,
right,
but you don't verify any of the information, nobody gets to talk about anything.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Is there a problem? Can we send? Do we need to send to Twitter the voter rolls? I mean, because we've made it all publicly available. Again, loudwithcrowder.com. You can go see. We're the only show that I know of that provides all of our sources. You may not like them, but we provided them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's what I do. Like, when you get to the bigger context of what this looks like, if what they're saying is, well, you know, what we really need to do is we need to vet this information. We need to know if it's verified or unverified. And sure, if you want to send us some information, we'll take a look at it. You know, I don't know. That sounds like what Random House does.
Right.
That sounds like what a publisher does.
Ooh.
Oh, I decide I want to look at the content. They are...
Somebody's legal.
They are walking backwards into the very thing they're trying to avoid.
Right.
And what is unclear is, are they so oblivious to that they're letting it happen? Or do they know that it's happening and for some reason they're unafraid of that consequence?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important, again, for people to note, there are people who have made claims. We've been very careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill sits me down and says, you literally can't make that claim, even if you do Google Earth, until you... people physically go there and confirm, which is absurd.
Yeah.
All the New York Times needs to do is say, there's no evidence of voter fraud. All they need to do, and they won't be fact-checked, is say, this video that Crowder released is bullcrap.
Yeah.
We'll give them the voter rolls. We'll give them the name. They can watch the show. It doesn't matter. So the verification thing doesn't hold up. Let me move through some of the other... Any possibility here of how we've run afoul? The fact check under my tweet included, you know, there's a risk of violence.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
A risk of violence. Was there any incitement to violence there? I don't know if you...
No.
Just to be clear.
No.
I don't think anything. Are they trying to say because some people stormed the Capitol at some point that me showing a voting address that doesn't exist is inciting people to violence when we've consistently told people to not be violent? As a matter of fact, condemned violence as it caused billions of dollars in damages across this country and raised six figures for a foundation for David Dorn?
I'm sorry. Didn't we just engage an entire multi-day theater over impeaching the president based on evidence that he was the one that caused it?
Right.
So
he's
the one that caused it. It wasn't tweets. It wasn't other speakers. It wasn't articles. It wasn't questioning a system to make sure that the system is good. Everyone on every side of this issue, every person in America, loves America, wants to come to a great America, wants to make sure that our voting systems are good. And if we can't raise questions... If we can't raise questions.
No, I agree with that. I don't agree that everyone loves America.
Well, we didn't even use the inflammatory word peacefully in that show. I mean, we stayed way away from peacefully.
We stayed from even addressing
it. You can't say that.
Because they say if you say peacefully, it's a dog whistle to mean violently.
Right.
The neighborhoods I was in were pretty violent.
That's why I put the sunglasses on halfway
there
through.
There were a lot of comments. Like, I love how Dave was trying to pretend like he wasn't filming. Where it's like, in selfie, he was like, oh, so I don't know, what's this? And he's like fixing his nose. He's trimming his nose hairs with a Gillette. So that's like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm just doing, no. Oh, I got nose hairs too, man. You cross 40, you lose hair in the hair, get in your nose.
We played a good round of spades and they let me go.
Nice.
Head your nose off your head. Hell, he's a man trade of off the
people.
Is that shit.
A so, man of the people.
I want a baby.
Something else they said, okay? Claiming, which we did not do, claiming victory before election results have been certified.
What?
Is not, which we did not do. I mean, the election results have already been certified, but what about, did we bring that up? You showed those?
Yeah,
people like, well, that's their policy.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we have Collage D, which is Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi claiming victory before the election results had been certified.
Oh, no.
So the rules that they used not only could not apply to us at all, but they selectively didn't apply them to people who would be violating them. They claimed victory before the election was certified. Did we do that? I just want to be clear.
No.
Okay. Huh. Kamala Harris on November 7th said we've won this election definitively.
Elegant.
Huh. Okay.
Good argument. Can I point out something real quick?
Yeah.
This is the danger that everyone has to recognize when you put so much power into these tech companies who are then paying subcontractors minimum wage to review the tweets. If even that, they just got some AI bot chained up in the back and telling them, screw all of the types of things that are like that. All right, we don't like those either. But ultimately, this is the problem because there is no recourse. There is no customer service line. There's no one calling and saying, hey, I wanted to check on that to see how it is. Their appeal process goes into a black hole to be reviewed by more robots or possibly at some level people. But what that means is at this scale, they are simply unable to exercise their ability to enforce the rules in good faith. You can't do it. If you've left it to robots that you can't really figure out what they're doing, then you aren't acting in good faith.
Well, and if this post doesn't back up with full interactivity, then we know that it's not in good faith. Because, and I'll explain sort of, I don't want to say the trap, but I'll explain what it is that we've laid here. We've gone to great lengths to ensure that it does not run afoul. Yeah. Sometimes we'll go, why do you dance around it? We're not dancing around it. We're not dancing around anything. We're making sure that we bet once and we bet right. And if they violate their own guidelines and their own enforcement and choose to double down on it, now it's become their problem, not ours, where we're relegated to some message board or some alternative platform, which, by the way, if an alternative platform out there wants to mirror this YouTube channel, let us know, because there are a few out there, but I don't know if we've had anyone reach out directly. So, okay, incitement to violence, no. Unverified election, no.
No.
Final one that some people may try and claim is, doxing, which is actually, we did the, I didn't even know this was a thing. Maybe it'll go in Urban Dictionary. We anti-doxed.
Yeah.
there is no there.
We pointed out addresses that don't exist. You doxed
it's
a median
harassment
in Greektown in Detroit. I mean, how does this, so did we dox, did we try and tell, and doxing, by the way, is also with malicious intent.
Right,
of sending someone to someone's house.
Well, not only was there the anti-doxing, which I agree, I like that term. Let's add it, Webster's. But but ultimately, none of that was in the Twitter post.
No.
None of that was in the post itself.
No, not at all.
Right? The post itself was a preview about the show where the verification was occurring. Right? So when you look at all of the different rules, and the fact that we're even having to go through all of these is emblematic of the problem. They don't tell you what the they don't tell you what the problem is. You have to guess what the problem is. Even if you happen to guess what the false problem is, there's no one to talk to about it, and there's no way to undo it. But then afterwards, when it's all done, maybe they let you out of Twitter jail. Maybe they go, but here, remember this. Anyone can go to your Twitter channel right now or go to your page and find the tweet. They just can't interact with it.
Yeah, what is
that? So if it was so dangerous,
yeah,
it was so inciting to violence, if it was such a clear violation of rules that you couldn't put the reason in the email,
right?
Why is it still up
like at all? If it was Jeffrey Dahmer eating a guy in his, you know, junior apartment, and they're like, well, you know what? This is a violation. You can't show this. We just won't. You can quote tweet it.
I thought he had a two-bedroom, but
he maybe had a two. It's a one-bedroom with a junior suite.
That's
one room was a shrine of bones.
Yes. And butts.
Yeah.
He had like to preserve
he had a thing.
Come
he
on.
Thing.
Waste not.
wanting us.
Well, it just shows clearly that their goal is not to protect people from misinformation. Their goal is to silence political views that they disagree with, right? We took the safest possible route. We talked about this with other information coming out from other people saying Dominion voting systems was a thing. That was difficult because it would either take forever to prove or it would be impossible to prove.
Right.
This was easy, right? It's illegal to vote in a state you don't live in. We just looked at the addresses you listed and they don't exist.
Yeah, and by the way, really quickly, also Eric Swalwell, the professional banger of Chinese spies in chief.
Yeah,
he did claim, that's collage E here. He claimed
is that why he keeps calling me?
Did he really?
Yeah. Oh. Here, put this on. I don't know. It is nice. I don't like negligees, but it is silk. Let me be really clear here, too, with what we've done. Like I've said, comment below. Again, the best thing you can do right now is put the hashtag out. You know, it could be free credit. Could just include my last name in it because we were trending accidentally. Thank you to Tim Pool for covering it. And by the way, in this case, credit where it's due. Thank you to YouTube for not taking it down, but we understood what YouTube's rules were.
Yeah.
I think they're silly,
but we
still played by them, and they didn't selectively enforce them. Let me be really clear about this here, too. It doesn't mean that this is the only these are the only examples of election fraud out there. It's the only thing that we can prove and that you can actually verifiably prove. For example, look, what we can do and what we did, we said, what is it that we could 100% testify to in court if we needed to? Go through the voter rolls, see if it's a deliverable address, see if it's a name, see if this person voted, do all that, then go to the address and see that it doesn't exist. This is the only thing we can prove because it's the only place we can physically visit. Now, this would be the smallest example of any potential irregularities out there. There is no system that I can use to see if people voted, illegal immigrants voted. There is no system I can actually use to see if people voted in separate states. There is no system I have available to me as an entertainment host to see if the paper ballots match signatures. I can't do that. This is the simplest and easiest one. It's the only thing that I could do, and I could do it to the tune of all year, never do another show, just go to addresses. It just depends on what you want me to do. Do you want us to take a couple of weeks off and rent an RV? We can number this in the hundreds if we confirm what we have on Google Earth, but again, Google Earth isn't enough. New
Apparently
York Times
enough.
Can just say, no voter fraud, don't believe Crowder. We can do it. It's just a matter of time. That's what's so scary.
Yeah, and so basically we're also saying that you can't do the same kind of due diligence that UPS does when you enter a shipping address. They verify it immediately. The software exists. You don't have to create anything. You just have to take the time to do it and to say, hey, votes should be legal. People that live here should be able to vote. If you don't live here, by the way, if you're changing the rules and you can claim an address on a median, fine, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll play by different rules.
I think there's a false equivalency here. Me getting my Amazon packages is way more important
That's true. Than voter integrity. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah.
Safe, secure elections.
That's what
beautiful
I've
and brave. Got it.
I did dox a fence.
I specifically love the house between houses that doesn't exist. That one's the most ballsy, I think,
magical.
Of the,
yeah,
the entire time.
Well, one of them was the Coleman Young Center. That one was
fun, too.
That was great.
It's where community comes together.
If you can't do this, look, this is the point, is you can't question. This isn't just questioning authority. This is verifying something.
Yeah.
This is the verification because no one else is interested in going through the verification. People say, well, why didn't you do this? Well, first off, I had health problems. I was going, do we have to do this show or do we have to just drive across the country and do this?
Right.
Yeah.
And it took a while to get these to actually verify these addresses. It's a multi-step process because we have a target on our back. I will stand behind what we presented to you 100%. And if there's a mistake, I will correct it.
Absolutely. And wouldn't you say, like, hey, states, if you got a problem with this address that we went to that didn't exist and you say there's a house in the field that
verify.
Let us know.
Yeah.
You know where to find us.
Yeah. Well, not physically.
Not physically, but online. Yeah.
We around.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's becoming more absurd, but I do appreciate it, right? I mean, at least now you've got Twitter. They're coming out of the shadows. They're doing less of the, you know, we're going to put a silent thumb behind the scale because there are more eyes. So now they're going, okay, we're going to start sending some emails. We're going to tell you what's going on. And every time they make a step like this, whether it's Twitter or the other platforms, they're showing how their steps are mistaken.
Right.
And then we can do something more about it, right? I mean, so many people have said, no, they don't do that. And you hear them testifying in front of Congress. We'll tell you why. If you're being restricted, we'll tell you why you're banned, and then you look at it and you go, "They're not doing it."
They haven't told you why. And let me be
this
really clear:
their rules.
These are their. I couldn't care less about. And we don't want to. People know that we're filing a lawsuit against Facebook. I don't want to sue Twitter because they're the least relevant of the platforms.
Right.
I mean, listen, they're driving themselves into the ground at this point.
It's Jack.
But I will say this: this segment will be uploaded to Twitter because fuck you. And also, I don't really care about my account. this post, that's not enough for me. This post needs to be publicly available, and people need to be able to remove that is to put your thumb on the scale of democracy, on the scale of this constitutional republic, and that's more important. If they want to put me in Twitter jail, I would. If they said, "Look, we'll give you an agreement right now. You can no longer tweet, but we'll make sure that these posts, that this process you went through, these segments where you verify addresses will be up. Take your pick in a heartbeat." I am tired right now of this, of people being so concerned about. I couldn't care less. I was taken out of Twitter jail so quickly. To be clear, we just don't have an answer as to what's going on with the post, and it's not enough. It's not enough. We're coming for it. It's got to be available, or you tell us what is wrong. Find something wrong with what we did. Find something factually inaccurate. We fact-checked you. We fact-checked the people who didn't go through the verification process. If we are wrong, you need to prove it to us. Otherwise, it's just silencing information that you don't like. Is there anything else, Bill? Because we're about to get some stuff that could get everyone in trouble.
I'm even afraid to lose out of the studio because then more things are going to happen. But okay, I guess I'll be back.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Love you. Bye. Mr. Swalwell's choice number two.
His madam. By the way, I think it's time for Governor Greg Abbott. I think it's time for Ted Cruz. I think it's time for Ben Crenshaw. Have the same kind of guts that Florida's DeSantis had in saying, big tech, you can't do this to people in our state.
Right.
We're in your state. You have to defend us because nobody else is right now. This can't be allowed to happen. Step up to the plate.
I'm tired of ballless politicians.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will tell you what. It's made our job just as hard from people who want to be patriots, I understand, but who don't do their own due diligence.
Yeah.
Who just say they believe every single election fraud claim out there. I will tell you that this would definitely be the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
If one, and we're going to get to a Clinton staffer, by the way, who just happened to be on that Rolodex yesterday.
Later in the show.
But if one were to in any way orchestrator, one were to plan to try and not verify or be lax with the rules, the least commonly used tool would be to just have fake addresses. More common would be illegal immigrants. More common would be no signature verification. More common would be people underage, people who no one is paying attention to, people who aren't eligible to vote, felons. So in one of those yesterday, just to be clear, in one of those, it was someone who voted from an address that didn't exist who is currently in jail, and his address is currently listed as the county sheriff. If the government in, I don't know if that was Nevada or Michigan, if the government were
able... That was Michigan.
That was Michigan. Yeah. Well, yes, that explains that it. If the government were able to verify anything, if they just did a cross-reference, right, and goes, okay, well, this vote came in, does that check out? Oh, no, right away, he's been printed!
He's currently with us.
It should just be, oh, wait a second, hold on a second. This guy has two addresses. Oh, he's in jail. All right, that one doesn't count.
I wonder how that Clinton staffer is going to kill themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We don't know. I'll get to that.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We have no idea. What is it today? By the way, what am I promoting today? Nothing? Nothing. Just comment. Put this up on Twitter, Facebook. Use my name in there somewhere to get this trending so that people can see the truth. And that really isn't about me. Like I said, I would gladly give up my account. That post needs to be up. This information needs to be out there. And let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know if you want me to stop doing the show for a couple of weeks and just collect more of these addresses, because we can do it for a very long... At what point is it considered massive? Do we need to reach 1,000?
Yeah.
Do we need to reach 200, 400? Like, because if you had a team of people doing this, you could collect it. I just can't make that claim because of these rules, because I'm not Time Magazine and full of crap.
Well, it's kind of like Trump's lawyer when he was talking to that ABC lady saying, so you're okay with just a little bit of doctored evidence? So are you okay with a little bit of voter fraud?
Like, that's just fine. A little bit.
Like, where's the line for you guys?
We got 20... with an Asian intern who was listening to house music and horrible peripheral vision and a stand-up comedian from Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Period. Because we're like, this was in our spare time.
Investigative journalism at its finest.
And by the way, while we're talking about election fraud and we're talking about the standards, it also, Dinesh D'Souza he had a great quote when he was on my show. He said, it's not about, is there enforcement of the law? It's, is the law enforced equally?
Right.
Which I would love, I can't imagine him ordering at Chipotle. Oh. I don't want the guacamole. I don't want it. I know it's a scam. And Hillary Clinton is a communist demonic figure. Okay, listen. We recommend you go to Qdoba. I don't want Qdoba.
It sucks.
I'm just saying that they put hormones in it. And that's so you want a number three?
Yeah.
As many hormones as possible. I need to widen the shoulders.
Dinesh and John Malkovich ordering together.
John Malkovich. Yes. When I was your age, we didn't have Chipotle. We would suck on pennies and considered it a delight.
My best movie is where I play Cyrus the Virus in Con Air.
And I'm horrible at doing a Russian accent despite being from Russia.
I have an Oreo tell. How would you not notice that I do well when I eat an Oreo?
Listen, I didn't get it early.
Okay. Russian. So let's go. Is it applied equally? What action did Twitter take, by the way? This is what matters to the people out there. You don't go out half informed. What did Twitter do with the Russian collusion hoax and the Mueller report? Well, look, we have right now before
he
was not guilty. Well, let's look at, and then we have a clip from after what's been allowed on Twitter.
There was a clear intent to collude with the Russians. There was a willingness to receive Russian help. The president himself called on the Russians to assist his campaign by hacking Hillary Clinton's emails.
It wasn't until there was a recess in the Intel committee that he started to walk some of that back.
Why is Bill on here?
I don't know who got to him. I don't know who talked to him. But that was very odd what he did.
No, you can tell by the powder.
Oh, you're right.
It's almost as if the Mueller report hadn't come out.
Yeah. Maybe. It doesn't matter.
They lived in like a time capsule that was before.
This is what we've talked about. The rule of law doesn't matter. This is the thing. They don't follow the law, these social media companies. For example, let me get back to that. Remind me what story I want to get back to. But let's also go to how Twitter has covered fraud. Those are all available on Twitter, by the way. Those clips, those people, Ted Lieu. I wish I loved anything as much as Ted Lieu loves being a prick.
Now, is that adult? Is that adult behavior?
Twitter. Twitter. How do they cover it? Here's something, too. Allegations of fraud in other countries.
Yeah.
So they allow it to be covered. By the way, no disclaimers, no fact checks.
What?
Belarus. And here's what's interesting on Twitter about Belarus. This is Overlay H. The claims of poll workers in Belarus, nearly identical to not the claims, what we observed with Americans, by the way.
Video
you saw the
evidence.
Poll workers being turned away. They allow it on Belarus. They don't allow it here in the United States. They don't consider it evidence. Again, it's not supplied equally, maybe because Twitter is more of a third world sort of app that's used. Like, I think
maybe.
It's 2 in 10 use them in the United States, 8 in 10 in Saudi Arabia use Twitter.
Oh.
Well, actually, poll workers in Belarus are masseuses.
Yeah, it's true. That's what they say.
Masseuse.
I will massage you, and then I will make you never have children.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
That's not part of the package. It is a freebie. I throw it in.
You want to fight in shower?
Yes.
Best trained
technically, it is bathhouse. It's more like a steam room, and not really, but for American, I say shower. The point is, I will butterfly knife your cock. So.
He's not gay if you have tattoo of Grim Reaper holding baby.
That's not. Which you may think is not toughest tattoo, but I assure you, Grim Reaper holding baby is toughest tattoo.
Be very tough.
Right now, Alexander Emelianenko is going, hey! So... Let me read you a claim of the Belarus poll workers. Vadim Kozorizov, who worked at another Minsk polling station, told the Alternative Press that he didn't even get to the signing stage. A senior poll worker dismissed him after he pointed out violations during the count. One said she was asked to sign the final protocol, a document summing up the vote totals, each precinct, much display after counting the ballots, before voting even ended, with the totals left blank. She said, I wouldn't sign the protocol because it's a crime. It's fraud. Even in Belarus, and we really don't care about crime. Venezuela. What do they do in Venezuela on Twitter? The election, of course, was fraudulent. You know, if anyone here has heard of Maduro.
Right.
No, you people can just make general claims about fraudulent elections. And again, I'm saying the claims are less specific. They're less verified than what we've talked about here in the United States. Because we haven't said election fraud. We've said voter fraud, period.
Yeah.
Election fraud would mean it comes from the top, which I can't make. I would never claim that.
Exactly.
We'll get to this Clinton staffer who we just happened to include in the voter rolls in a little bit. But I would never claim that it comes from the top.
Not
I would just say what we can verify.
You would never say it.
So, Russia. Going back to Russia, right? The Russian elections. Here you go. They let this be covered in Russia. An election for constitutional amendment saw some precincts approaching 100% yes votes. By the way, comparable to some precincts in Detroit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it was after everyone went to bed.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
So look, here's something that I want everyone to do, okay? Try it for yourself. What I want you to do is go to your local election websites, check out some addresses, And we have the steps as to what you can do at LiDarWithCutter.com. The steps that you can follow to verify, see if it's a deliverable address, and then see if, and just use Google Earth. We don't want you driving around neighborhoods.
No.
We don't want you at all bothering anyone at their homes. Be nice. We made sure that we did that. That's why a lot of them came from industrial areas. We have some others that were in more municipal areas where places didn't exist, but we just didn't want to bother people. Right. And Landau is cuddly, not intimidating.
It's true. And I didn't want to bother anybody at their median or government building.
Of course. You never know who you're going to run into under the underpass.
That's true.
You
know?
Right. I mean, never do. You need to be careful.
But one can assume it won't be cordial.
No, not at all. I guess elections matter more in those countries than they do here, where Twitter was founded and has its home.
Right, right. You would think, apparently. Venezuela is a big clientele there.
Really?
They just try and eat their smartphones.
That's true.
I thought this was Fruit Ninja.
It's got good minerality.
These are countries where they take the finger-licking good slogan literally, and they walk out of KFC without thumbs. This is a goof! By the way, hit the notification bell if you're subscribed.
That's why Fonzie doesn't eat there, am I right?
Hey. Huh?
He just, Fonzie in Venezuela just goes, no.
Right. By the way, so I want to bring something up about your tweet, if now is a good time, right? Because you said you want interaction
it's
with that.
Never a
so
good time.
You can't, thank you. You can't comment on it right now at all, and you can't like it. Those are two things that help get your tweet out in public eye. You
wouldn't also want can people do, seeing verified, I know, you, elect, you verified voter fraud.
Only quote retweet it, and then you're given all kinds of, you know, flashing screens and warnings to make sure you're not
doing
something
wrong.
Are you
sure you want to do this?
I just happened to remember a story. I think a reputable newspaper published hacked information from Donald Trump's tax returns. The reason we know it's hacked, he spent 4 years telling people to go screw themselves and gave them the finger, and 2 weeks later put an entire newspaper locked out because their story was right. Not only that, came back and said, hey, that was our bad, but by the way, we will not let them have that tweet back.
Right.
It doesn't come back. You can repost again now, but you can't come back. You can't get it back. Same thing that happened with Facebook. You can't get that momentum back on these things.
Yeah, it's gone.
And they know it.
Right. Just like removing our election streams. Like, someone in Bangladesh got it wrong. Why are you always blaming?
The Bangladesh, they're nice people.
Bradley Smith, that's right.
So they just take you out at the knees like Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, I don't mean to be timely. Sorry.
Searing commentary.
Don't call him the best color man in the business for nothing.
No,
that's what I do. I make it relevant.
It's like Don Cherry, where all of a sudden he's going to be yelling about the Swedes.
Yep.
Swedes, they cross-check you. Okay, Don. All right.
Got it.
I understand. I don't think you understand anything. So as we go on with factual information, of course, it is, a lot of people don't know this. We celebrate our brothers and sisters. We had to get to that first. But it is, of course, Black History Month.
Still in Arabic. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do we have? You had a fact about
I got a fact.
Tiger.
So today, tragically, you know, Tiger Woods got in an accident.
That
yesterday.
Wasn't today. That was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Yeah. But, you know,
it's Black History Month. He doesn't go a day without the ganja. Yeah. So
yeah, of course.
Time's a continuum.
And Tiger Woods is actually mostly Asian. So
yeah,
it's more of like an anti history.
That would explain the driving. What?
That's not.
Just thing
I
on?
Wasn't. That's him. That's on him.
Well, no, it's just, you know.
It's too soon? Oh, what? Sorry, I had to make up for that Kerrigan line, everybody.
Too soon. Too soon.
Not too soon.
Just listen. No, it's not too. Okay.
Never.
There's always something to glean from there's a lesson, okay?
Yes, there is.
With Tiger Woods, don't sext mistresses and drive.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, it's not safe.
Here's something else as far
also,
as...
Also, don't veer off the road.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
start.
A bad
it's
idea.
What we call a good start.
Yes.
Or as many Asian drivers call it, huh?
Yeah.
So a study
the
here...
The general's going to be insuring you in no time.
To change that seems... For a great quote, you can get online, call the general. No. Go. That's the office is closed. It's closed.
Disclaimer, everyone but Tiger Woods.
Hello? Sorry, we can't hear you.
All right, so look, here's something that actually really interested me. This is just just a palate cleanser. A study from the Ecological Society of America. Why are you showing that guy? Fix that.
Geez.
Good Lord.
I got to get him off.
You and your purple haze. They released underwater video footage. This is something of octopuses in the wild. They thought hunting, but octopi, they now know, is a part of their behavior. I don't know why, and they don't necessarily know why. They punch fish. Sometimes without reason. And this just really,
terrifying.
I was fascinated by this. We have a clip. Octopuses punching fish. Look at this. There's the octopus. Look, that's a no-look jab.
They're evil.
Look, he faints here. Look at this. The octopus.
They're the bullies of the ocean.
They're evil, I'm telling you.
And they've been seeing this more and more, and it's been getting pretty, like, they're going, well, why is this happening? Because it's not necessarily hunting. It's a predator. It's just doing this maliciously, not to mention what happens in the Black Sea.
What kind of animal was that holding the camera?
The reason I tried to move on from your Tiger Woods is because I knew this was coming up.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be too heavy for
It's fair.
Fair. We need a little space. So
a little
I apologize. I wanted to laugh more than I did.
That's so funny. I just love the idea of like Disney, like some, you know, you basically have like Chris Rock doing a fish voice.
Listen. I want to be where the people are.
Oh my god, that made me laugh way too hard. While a guy yells world star.
So here's something else that we just discovered too, by the way. So yesterday on air we discovered that one of the voters was a felon.
Right.
Currently incarcerated, I believe.
You found out when we did.
Yeah, I found out with you did. Same thing. We learned together. Don't take my word for it. Take LeVar Burton's 6-year-old consultant.
Yeah, that's a baller forwarding address, by the way.
So one of them that we talked about yesterday was Cristina Joy Ruaya Gupano. Okay. It was a fake voter, I believe, in Nevada. And here is a clip from us covering it yesterday. This is Cristina Joy Ruaya Gupano. Hopefully I'm getting that right. Voted from 353 West Bonneville Avenue now.
Wait,
what was that, house?
I don't know.
Bring that back up. Can you pause it? Because it was so short. So, no, we don't need to. Okay, so there you go. There's the paper. What is this? What is this? Explain this to me,
Troy Jr. So this is what I think is the worst one. So it was like right in a highway underpass. So I was in the middle of the street like trying to take this video. So I like didn't take it that long because there was traffic coming behind.
There wasn't even a way to pull over?
Yeah, like there was nothing there. Like the closest
park. That's a dangerous question in retrospect.
Like right up at the end of that, and there was a government building, but the thing is all private parking, so I couldn't actually park there and walk down, or I had to park like 20-minute walk away.
So potentially, maybe we have to. Someone could have voted from that government building. May have been the address.
No. Like literally, when I looked it up, on my car GPS and on Google Maps, it literally pointed to that highway, like underpass.
Wow.
Yeah.
In retrospect, okay, sending out the Asian intern to do was probably not our best call because Troy Jr. is now dead.
It's too bad. That is true.
He will not be missed.
Yeah. On the roadway.
So here's the thing. We were talking about asking him to pull over.
Yeah.
Ooh, wait. It's almost like I'm an oracle. Cristina Joy Ruaya Gupano. And then afterwards, the name rang about. Here's actually a clip, and I'm going to get to something very interesting. Clinton staffer, this
very
lady is.
Interesting. Oh.
But it rang a bell from a clip from James O'Keefe, I think from like 4 or 5 years ago.
So I just went in there and gave him the form, and he filled it out.
Okay.
So.
Whatever you can get away with, just do it until you get kicked out. Like totally.
Yeah.
Like within the law, we talk about ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
I'm surrounded by Asians today.
There's everywhere I look.
So let me give you a little bit. She was a campaign. Clinton campaign staffer in 2015. Okay. Then Gupano went missing after she was caught breaking campaign laws, and she was investigated.
Wow. Okay.
Well, they did just say break laws, then ask for forgiveness. Sorry, I didn't know that was coming.
I didn't know it was coming either.
So she was caught breaking campaign laws, and then investigated by Nevada officials. Disappeared.
Where in the world is
Cristina Joy Regabuano?
We put in a lot of work, Dave. Don't.
Yeah,
spoil.
That's a lot. I didn't want to ruin it.
Did you hear the mixing in that? It was great.
It was really good. I almost danced.
Almost.
I was just laying down cardboard. I didn't realize it was short.
It's getting my boombox ready.
Yeah.
So here's something else. It gets even worse. Look, her postal address. So this lady was a campaign staffer in 2015, disappeared because she broke the laws. Her voting address was in Nevada that we covered there yesterday.
Yeah.
A person who we don't even know if they've been Clinton, which means
where in the world is
Cristina Joy Regabuano?
Or they went to a really nice farm. But her new postal address, we had Sarah, brilliant Sarah from the UK, do this research for us. New postal address is actually listed as being in London, while her most recent social media posts place her in places like the Philippines, sparring with Pacquiao. Here's something else that's interesting. Her London address is fake, too.
What?
So look, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Really, let's just give me 1 second here to be serious, and we'll go back to ragging on Asians.
Where in the world is
Christina Joy Regabuana? I'm trying to answer it. This was a Clinton staffer in 2015 who violated laws, right? Worked on the election in Nevada, was investigated, disappeared, went to London, where there is actually a fake address. She seems to be in the Philippines, and now she is voting. Don't play it anymore, Tulane. I'm good. She is voting from Nevada, this name in Nevada from an address that doesn't exist. Now, that is what I just told you is. Come at me, Twitter. I got a half Asian in the green room who's putting on too much powder right now.
My transgender prostitute is here.
I'll be right back.
In a matter of speaking.
See you guys in 3 fun minutes.
The retainer's very expensive. It's more of a catch-all.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, though. Someone, again, let me reiterate, 2015 violated laws, worked as a Clinton campaign staffer in Nevada, investigated for breaking laws, disappeared, London, fake address, then her name shows up at an address that doesn't exist. That is, there's no denying that's a fact. The question becomes, and I cannot answer this, who, if someone, because someone else entered in this vote, who would be motivated or who would think that this is the kind of information no one would think to double check? Just take someone who worked for the Clinton staff campaign, was investigated, who hasn't been in the country for years, doesn't have a real address in London. Let's pop her name in an address that doesn't exist in Nevada. Mitch McConnell?
He probably did it, yeah.
Follow like the back of a children's menu. That is, everything I just told you is, he's not in the country. London address isn't real. Voted from a place that doesn't exist in Nevada. How does that happen?
Yeah, and by the way, it's almost as if we had her on video saying, push these laws until you get caught. It's like she's doing what she said she should do.
Exactly what...
She's like Swayze and Ghost, only instead of pottery, it's just voter fraud.
Yeah.
Some of those children's menus, pretty enough tough nut to crack.
They are pretty tough. What's different between 1 and 2? The mole? No. 2 nose rings.
I might as well just color in the maze. I'm like, there's no way out of here.
Did I ever tell you they thought my brother was on they thought he was learning disabled, and they brought him in to do the test, and he did that map faster than anyone in the history of the Children's Hospital had done it.
Really?
They were like, yeah, your son's not retarded. He's just really lazy. It was really bored with school. That's all it was. So look,
my doctor actually told my parents both.
Really?
Yeah. They were like, he's a lazy retard.
Best of both worlds.
Which really,
you won't even give any effort.
Look, in 1982, that was a real diagnosis. Right,
yeah. It's like, if you're asking me
I was zero.
What I want to tell you is, okay, if you're asking for my clinical diagnosis, he's a lazy retard. Now, if you're asking for my opinion, the deck's stacked against him.
Yes.
Okay.
If you want my other opinion, he's hot.
Jeez. The way he filled in those colors.
I thought I needed pills till he walked in.
So let's
ripping my pants. God.
Let's go on to. We'll move on here from Twitter. But again, the best thing you guys can just do is comment. You know what? You let me know. Would you rather me continue doing this show or leave for a while and just collect more votes? Because look, here's one thing too that people understand. I get that it's a losing battle. I understand there's no system in place to put into place if you actually found enough evidence of fraud. I know there's. It doesn't matter because you know what? This matters for 2022. This matters for 2024. If you don't know that your vote counts, look, we just showed you 20 of your votes right now, watching in Nevada. 20 of your votes wiped off. They don't exist. At least 20. We've got a list of far more. At what point does it matter? 1,000? 2,000? 5,000? 500,000? My vote's pretty important to me.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot to swing elections either. We're not saying that it did in this case. We're just saying that it doesn't take a lot to do it. And by the way, what people should do right now, go to that original post that is on your page on Twitter right now. Quote retweet it with the hashtag Free Crowder, but also tag your elected officials in it. Let them know that this is going on. If tons and tons and tons of people do that, they have to respond at some point.
You hear that, Swalwell? Get off the Chinese spy
Get
and
off
do your job. Oh, I got pinged.
I've got another one convinced I have power.
It is amazing how many times, in all seriousness, you have to preface it with saying, I'm not saying the election was stolen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When on the other side against Trump, you could just write whatever the hell you wanted.
Yeah. You had a guy trying to impeach him who was banging Chinese spies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing happened to him.
Yeah. This is exactly like a Seinfeld episode. Not that there's anything wrong with
you
that.
You tried
like,
to impeach Donald Trump initially. Remember how excited they got when they thought that Donald Trump, there was this false report that he was watching prostitutes peeing on furniture that was covered, you know, like they were in a Greek apartment in Detroit circa 60s that was covered with the plastic wrap. They said he was watching Russian prostitutes peeing. That was the big story. They're going to impeach him on that.
Yeah.
And then we actually know that copulation with Chinese spies on the regular with Eric Swalwell, nothing?
It's worse than that. They impeached him for doing something that we have Joe Biden bragging that he did on camera in Ukraine. And
that guy also farted.
That is true.
Yeah. Several times, I hear.
Yeah, right while he's speaking. Did you hear that?
Well, listen, at a certain point, when you're banging that many Chinese spies, the push-ups that just move the gas around.
That's Kegels. True. Go with That's Kegels. True.
You got to do butt kegels.
Doing happy baby pose. Oh. Speaking of which, this is something, this just goes to show you how the media gets on. They get to continue along just lying completely unfettered. Look, we've talked about what happened at the Capitol, and I think that anybody who showed up at the Capitol with intent to commit violence is a problem. Okay?
Absolutely.
I think that's a problem, and I think it was a very small group of people. There have also been a lot of lies. And let me give you an example of a lie yesterday when someone was being cross-examined by... I'm a clue, but you are. So yesterday, the Senate, they held a hearing about the January 6th Capitol riot. Now, again, terrible. People who commit violence, it's terrible that any people die tragically. And that's not what we do in this country. But Amy Klobuchar, Klobuchar. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The one nobody likes. The one nobody likes, but who wasn't a dark enough shade to warrant a VP spot. Klobuchar.
That's unfortunate.
She immediately began through questioning, spreading lies.
Tragically, the attack on the Capitol also cost the lives of three brave officers, including Officer Brian Sicknick, who died from injuries sustained while engaging with protesters.
Lie. Not true. Mm. And I don't mean inaccurate. Okay.
Right.
You either have to believe, again, impossible, that these people don't have anyone who helped prepare them for these hearings before they go out there, or it's a lie. And I will tell you what, that is a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie because on Monday, Sicknick's mother said that, what's going on? I hear you whispering over there. It's like cartoon whispering.
He was like, check yes or no.
Is something going on with a stream or something? Have we been removed? Okay, good.
And we're good.
On Monday, Sicknick's mother said that he did not die of blunt force trauma. Yeah. He died of a stroke. Okay. That's what she said on Monday. Don't forget either that we talked about this on the day of the attack. After the attack, Sicknick texted his brother after the riot. He said that he'd been pepper sprayed, but that he was overall in good spirits.
Right, exactly.
Typically doesn't happen if you've been Pan's Labyrinthed in the face with a fire extinguisher.
Right. This information's only been public for 6 weeks, though. It does take time for congresspersons, I should say, to get this.
Here, and just, you know, this is one thing, again, no accountability. The New York Times had to retract, we talked about this, their article, that originally claimed Sicknick had been bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. So they had to retract it.
Yeah.
This is an authoritative news source. Also works great as TP in a pinch because there's a shortage of COVID. They say they had to retract it. His own family said, well, that's not true. He wasn't bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher.
Was it strokes of a fire extinguisher?
That's what, yeah. They're, they're getting their shoulder and doing it. No, none of that. He just had a stroke. So the family, authoritative news, have to, after we had been talking about this for many, many days, really for a week beforehand, they had to retract it. But then you have your democratically elected leaders who are able to speak. Is that going to be removed from Twitter? Is that going to be removed from YouTube, from Facebook?
Yeah.
Because that's verifiably false, just like the fact that these addresses didn't exist is verifiably true. It's not about the law. It's about whether the law is applied equally. And if it were, Amy Klobuchar would be in one of Biden's kids' cage camps that they just opened this week.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also about making sure that you're not just using these people for political gain. The number keeps going down of people that actually died from injuries related to what happened there, right? Do we have anybody who actually died that day from being killed by somebody in the mob?
Yeah.
Do we? I mean, I don't know.
No, we don't.
I don't think we
do
anymore.
It went from 3 to 5 to 7 and now back down to...
Yeah, because we had another, like, this is, I think, the third either heart attack or stroke now, as this has to be classified, right, that was not necessarily directly related to that. We had 2 officers commit suicide. All of these things are tragic, by the way.
Terrible.
But you are standing up as a representative saying, this is horrible because it caused the deaths of these people, and I'm the person to come in here and fix it, and we hate Republicans, right?
Right.
That's what you're doing. That's why we're calling you out on it, because you're not being honest with people about what actually happened. Don't sensationalize it. Just tell us what happened.
Yeah. Also, the hairdo with Amy Klobuchar.
Well, that's
yeah,
how does a company that lets you just sign on with any made-up email and put whatever face on care so much about authenticity?
Right. Yeah.
Well, they don't.
At certain points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. No. Well, yeah. Why protect this narrative, though, in such an obvious way?
Because they want to have the protections of being a platform and not a publisher.
I like that answer.
No, that's what it is. No, they go, we're not a publisher. We're a platform. Well, hold on. Is it a platform when you allow Amy Klobuchar to spout a verifiable lie and you remove, I don't even want to say verifiable truth, you remove the process of verifying truth.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We said, let's go through the process. When we went into it, we didn't know. And a big reason we had to do it was because we looked at some of the claims that were being made in court from some of the Trump attorneys, and we said, that's not accurate. We can do better.
I thought it was overkill. I thought we had gone so far above and beyond what we needed to do that there was no way they could take it down. It was like, oh gosh, if they take this down, they're just more. Oh, they took it down.
There they go. Yeah, of course. Amy Klobuchar with her half bell hairdo is free to spout anything.
Yeah, nobody's going to fact check
that.
Looks
like if you cut the bell of a Notre Dame in half. Looks like put it on her head.
Don't do it.
A bit of Emo Phillips.
A little bit of Emo Phillips.
A little bit. Yeah.
I think I took this too far.
Mrs. Butterfingers.
Let's move on to, this is something that the media is not covering right now because they have Fauci on there, because that's all they have.
Yeah. Flopping again.
We had this ready because it was an article from Washington Post, I think maybe it was Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And then we noticed that CNN covered this really, really quickly going into a break.
Real fast.
And they didn't cover it when they came back from a break.
Oh.
So before we go to the clip, the first migrant facility for kids under Joe Biden opened up 2 days ago. Right, and it's just buried in page 10. Here's CNN talking about it before a break, and then not really addressing it again. This happened this morning.
So I've heard the administration's explanations for this. They say they need more space to space these children out due to the pandemic. But I wonder, in practice, this administration is still holding
are those kids
at these migrant facilities here. How different is their approach in practice from the Trump administration approach?
Yes. So unfortunately, this is a reopening of a temporary facility. When we think of temporary facilities, we remember facilities such as Homestead and Tornillo. These are widely criticized facilities for lack of transparency, history of abuse. This is definitely concerning. Unfortunately, it has to balance with prolonged custody in CBP care, which has led to death of children. So there's, you know, at this point, the solution has to be something different.
President Joe Biden. This is...
He loves the kids.
By the way, and to be clear, this is... We talked about this when we did our Change My Mind on immigration. The Florence consent... the Flores consent policy. It was... Was it 97 or 93? Someone can make sure that I'm right on that. I know it was under the Clinton era.
97.
It was 97.
97.
And it decreed that children cannot be held in federal detention facilities for any extended period of time. They must be placed in licensed care programs or released to a relative. So look, I don't... This, the problem is those pictures that you saw of those kids in cages, right, under the Trump administration.
Right.
That was from the Obama era. That being said, the reason for it was because when parents are committing a crime but the kids aren't, you want to put the children in a facility that is far more comfortable than for the parents.
Right.
And those kids weren't in cages. It's like a holding room, like TSA, you know, where they put on the glove and they check you out and then you're free to go. Yeah. Everyone else has,
yeah. Yeah, it's where you want to
bring it. It's not five star.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You know. That's really, so I want to be clear in that it was a double standard from the left, and I don't think that anyone was really at fault for this. People were not sleeping in cages, in underpasses on the freeway,
right,
all brown children. It was never true. I don't think that Barack Obama wanted to hurt these children. I don't think that Donald Trump wanted to hurt these children. But the issue, again, is whether this is applied equally. And this is what's interesting. They use it as political fodder. Yeah. They use pictures from the Obama administration, right, of kids in cages to lay it at the feet of Donald Trump and say that he was a racist. But now this is verifiably true. Okay, Gitmo's still open. These cages still exist. By the way, Biden was there when Obama started them too. The guy's got to get his money worth, right? They spent some, they're the ones who built them. Who built the cages,
Put
Joe?
Put the money down.
One of the best lines in all of debate history. Yeah. Who built the cages, Joe? By the way, that's rhetorical. You.
You built the cages.
I love that he said it half a dozen times, and Joe's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, clown.
Come on, man.
Who built the cages, Joe? I rest my case. So, Psaki, Jen Psaki, was asked yesterday specifically, which in a rare moment of journalistic integrity, about the inconsistency. I think this was from Ducey.
Oh, are we circling back?
Yeah, are we circling back? She was asked about the cages. Look at her dancing here.
Kamala Harris said that this facility, putting people in this facility, was a human rights abuse committed by the United States government. And Joe Biden said, under Trump, there have been horrifying scenes of border at the border of kids being kept in cages. Now, it's not under Trump, it's under Biden.
This is not kids being kept in cages. This is kids. This is a facility that was opened that's going to follow the same standards as other HHS facilities. It is not a replication, certainly not.
Oh.
That is never our intention of replicating the immigration policies of the past administration. But we are in a circumstance where we are not going to expel unaccompanied minors at the border. That would be inhumane. That is not what we are going to do here as an administration.
Joe Biden loves kids, and if you play your cards right, he'll wrap your head in duct tape and use you like a scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a correction from CNN. Disneyland El Paso actually is open for children. Yeah.
Like, come on, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Every kid will receive a bushel basket and pointed to an orange tree.
Go collect the oranges, kids.
You can sell them by the overpass.
By the way, what's interesting, too, I think we have a collage here. A lot of Democrats are getting buyer's remorse over Biden. Yeah. Which,
it's hilarious.
Because they thought it meant no more kids in cages. But again, they paid for the cages. They got their money's worth. It's like when you pay for a movie and you know it's not going very well, but you want to see how it ends. I would say that only Joe Biden doesn't have the attention span to finish a whole film. But he can just keep kids in cages.
He's not going to make it.
If you don't use them, you don't get the tax write-off.
Come on. Of course, listen, I talked about, they were largely built under Obama. So this is one of those things. They paid for the cages. Who built the cages, Joe? No one fact-checked that because they just ignored it. They just said that was untoward, that it was a little bit rude. It was brash for Donald Trump to say it. So this is what they do, okay? And then we have to get going. The best thing you can do, like I said, is just comment, share this, get it up on Twitter, re-like these posts because I wouldn't give you any information here if I didn't believe in it 100%. I would gladly go into court regarding these issues of voter fraud and make these claims and defend myself.
Yeah.
And I would gladly lose my account if it means so for the truth. But here's what they do. They selectively apply the rules. And then when it's not a rule, but it comes down to, like you said, an opinion at that point. This is a clinical diagnosis. This is a rule. And this is my opinion. Comes down to the rules. They say, well, you can't do this as it relates to verifying voter fraud, which we did. But you can do this, Klobuchar, in making a verifiably false claim. But then it happens even more, I guess you would say. It's more subverse that then it comes down to the opinions. Where when they absolutely can't possibly fact check Donald Trump in a debate, says, who built the cages, Joe? That fact check should read like all the other fact checks that you can see from all these mainstream websites in the debate, is actually those detention centers were created under Barack Obama as a result to later of the 97 Flores consent policy. But instead, what they do is they'll fact check Donald Trump and ask him if he denounces white supremacists.
Right.
And they go, well, you said yes, but then you said stand by once. And then instead of fact checking that Joe Biden, in fact, was part of the administration that built the cages, they just go, Donald Trump was being boorish. So it's not just, this is one thing that people have always asked me. They say, why don't you talk more about like Rachel Maddow? I don't care about MSNBC. I don't care about Salon outside of when they're promoting actual pedophiles, which they did at Salon. And because of our researchers, we found them when the posts got removed. Because look, I don't care if someone says that they're left. I don't care if someone has an opinion. What is far more corrosive to our constitutional republic, and you're seeing this right now with, I want to say, well, no one really cares about ABC, NBC, CNN anymore, but Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, Apple, the people who control all flow of information, is they want to tell you, and they do tell you, under penalty of perjury, which to me there should be some accountability at some point, that there is no bias. That's the problem. Think about this for a second. Before Donald Trump, there really is CNN pre-Trump and CNN post-Trump.
Yeah.
I used to talk about CNN on the show all the time. Back when it was a blue bedsheet, nobody cared. Everybody would go, why don't you talk about MSNBC? Well, we know where Rachel Maddow lines up. Well, how? Take a look. But Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, they were trying to present themselves as journalists. Yeah. That was exposed exclusively because of Donald Trump. Even people who are liberal who still tune into CNN, they go, well, you know what? I tune in still to CNN. It's my preference, but at least I know what I'm watching. That's at least what needs to happen with big tech. When they are in control of all information that reaches you or that you send out that can reach other people, and they create rules and guidelines which are flagrantly in opposition of the law. This is what I want to leave you with, and then actually we have a great segment with Choi Jr. falling asleep. We think he's a narcoleptic, and we'll take your chat at Mug Club. Loudhouseguider.com/Mug Club. Fight like hell is a promo code. You get $30 off. So there's the law, right, of the country. And then there are these social media laws.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that I don't understand, because if they're a platform, if they're not a publisher, they should have to respect certain laws like consent laws. So we've had this happen. I talked about this on Dave Rubin's show, where you can follow the law entirely, and it is in violation of social media guidelines. And then you can break the law, and it's acceptable. Let me give you an example. We've had videos where we've done man on the street interviews, or where we've done hidden camera interviews. This has happened, not interviews, but hidden camera segments. This is what used to be known as investigative journalism, right? You catch someone doing a crime. You catch them, and there are things, there are laws known as consent laws, meaning single-party consent states, where most states are single-party consent states, meaning you don't need someone's permission to film them or record a phone call. We have to do this research when we do the show. We'll go, we can't go do a change my mind here because unless we get their signatures, if they recant, we can't include it. So we have to be really careful about that, okay? Because we know these laws really well. Have a half Asian on retainer, but I couldn't afford the Jew. So,
but in some states with consent laws, you only have to be 16.
This is true as well. Oh. In Quebec, 14.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh.
So single party consent laws. News. So we've had videos where we've gone out, we've interviewed people, not even hidden camera segments, where we've interviewed people on camera who have said, I'm willing to be on camera in signed forms, and then gone to YouTube afterward and said, you know what, I actually don't like what I said, I want to be taken down. And they tell us that we're violating someone's privacy. Yeah. We say, hold on a second, there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in a public area, and we can send you this person on camera in a written form saying, they say, you know what, it doesn't matter, we have our own laws because we don't want to deal with a headache. Guess what? Wow. Investigative journalism is dead. That would have been a hell of a perk for Nixon. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, exactly.
For any corruption. Well, he's, you know, you caught him, but he says that you didn't have permission for that phone call. So the issue here is it's not only a moving target with social media not enforcing their laws, their rules, their guidelines consistently, but sometimes it is in flagrant violation of the laws in which their company is founded. There is no way to do investigative journalism. And I think what's so sad to me, I wasn't mad about this, I was really sad, because I had talked about this a long time ago, really back in 2009, I would say through 2012. That's why a big part of why I left Fox News was because I thought, well, listen, this is going to new media where we don't need a gatekeeper. And everyone was championing that, saying, the good thing now is Joe Rogan was one of the first podcasts. You don't need to be on the cable dial for people to hear you. There is no gatekeeper anymore. You can get your information directly to the public. And that has actually gotten worse, because we went from three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, right? And that was it. If you didn't make it there, no one actually got to see you. And then we had a cable dial that expanded to thousands of channels. Some of them are just music channels. I don't even know how that works. And now we're back to five companies who control everything, and they want to ensure that you are not able to reach people with the truth, and they don't even follow the law of the United States. How does investigative journalism survive? How does fact-checking, how do you hold people accountable in power if everyone in power has created a system outside of American laws, the foundation of our constitutional republic, if they've created a system in which they cannot be accountable? How do you hold them? That was the main perk, was, hey, look, we can call out someone on ABC, NBC, CBS. Look, we can talk about a politician. Look, we're free to communicate here because no one stops us. And now the people who are in control of all information have guaranteed that those in government and themselves are not accountable. It's not that that's angering. It is. That's really sad, though, because that is, I hate to leave it on this note, but that is the downfall of our republic. And you know what? I think it's flawed. I think it's a pretty damn good country. And I know this because I grew up in Canada, and I have an uncle right now who has kidney cancer, who had it since July. The reason he didn't know? Because his forms fell next to the desk. There's socialized medicine for you. You can't fix that with a lawsuit because there are no lawsuits. All right, comment. And after, you know what, we're gonna perk this up and make fun of our Asian intern. YouTube, thank you so much. I do appreciate, credit where credit's due. You didn't remove us for posting this because you knew that it was verified. Twitter can go sit on attack. That's what they used to say at youth group. The devil doesn't like it. He can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Piss off, YouTube.